to tell you. I tried to tell you that Baylor, the Bulldogs have had a good season, a historic season, and some tough opponents, but I just feel like, I felt like Baylor's defense, the way they just handled Houston on Saturday, really made me feel good about my pick of the Baylor Bears to take down Gonzaga 86-70. This really wasn't a game at all. Gonzaga made it, you know, cut it to 10 at the half, but Baylor was under control. That defense was scary. Scary good there. And I'm happy to report that I finished third in the bracket challenge. That's not bad, Colfax. It's not bad. It's, yeah. But I don't know how I feel about this. It wasn't Dixon that won this thing. It was the spawn of Dixon. His son, who's a hooligan as well, won. And is it the sins of the father kind of thing, Colfax? Does he get that music because of who his dad is? Or are we willing to let him start on like a clean slate?
You know, some say he's a little more evil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That he's got a little more of that Chiefs
kingdom.
Evilness, yeah. Kingdom. He was at our little party that we had at the Eden Country Club.
He actually seems McCarty's really Grill. Cool.
He's service. A good dude.
Well, he is a good dude.
It's hard for me to admit that even Dixon, even Daddy Dixon, is
pretty
you
good
know,
dude.
Yeah.
I know.
Kind
I
of,
know.
Right?
Kind of. Minus the Chiefs thing.
It's kind of like you've seen the Sopranos, right?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
Once in a while, Tony can sit down and talk to an FBI agent, and there's like a 10-minute monologue or segment there of, okay, these guys have a mutual respect for each other.
Yeah.
But as soon as they walk out the door, I'm coming after you, Tony. And that's kind of how it is with Dixon.
How it is.
Although I'm Tony in this case because he's cooler. In the Sopranos, the cops were not cool. So I'm definitely Tony in this case.
Yes.
Just want to make that clear. As for Spawn of Dixon, great job.
Congrats.
I mean, he kind of blew it out. McLean finished second. I finished 1 point behind McLean. So I think there was only a handful that took Baylor. And, you know, we were, and that's just kind of how it worked out.
All at the top.
All at the top, Colfax. That was my game of the week yesterday. Surprise, surprise. I was going pretty simple. National championship game. We're just going to go that route, and that'll be that. But, now, but get this. Gonzaga, McLean, did you get second place last year? Or did you get second in the fantasy draft? It's tough, man. It's tough. It's, you know, you got to bring it every single day, McLean. You know, you're one pick away, maybe two picks away from taking that thing. So even with Gonzaga losing, they are still the odds-on favorite, the betting favorite, to win the 2022 men's basketball title. It's crazy. Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill has posted the Bulldogs at +550 and newly crowned champion Baylor as the second favorite at +850. Interesting. Doug Kieserin of ESPN.com writes, handicapping which transfers and high school recruits will make the biggest impact is always tricky for odds makers. However, in response to the pandemic, the NCAA is allowing any player the option to transfer without sitting out a season. And that poses even more challenges for odds makers. So maybe just go on the easy route. Go with Gonzaga. Gonzaga, this just happens. I'm not going to knock the Bulldogs. I'm not going to knock them. I do think that Baylor was unlike any team they played all year. I think we were talking about this. They had some COVID issues. And if they wouldn't have had COVID issues, who knows? Maybe they run the table and go undefeated. But I'm not going to be one of those guys that says, see, I told you, Gonzaga didn't. No, this was more of Baylor and their defense. I believed in that. Gonzaga's a tremendous team. And maybe if you do a tournament best of five, who knows? Maybe Gonzaga wins. Maybe they do. But this is college basketball, Colfax. It's what we love and hate about it. Sometimes the best teams don't claim the title. Was Baylor the best team all year long? No. Gonzaga was the best basketball team in the country all year long. But this is how it goes. If you can't bring it every single night, it bites you. And that's why a lot of times you don't see the number ones always run away with the title. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. It is official. The Colorado Rockies will host the 2021 All-Star Week. Got that posted up on our website, thewholeshow.com. Coors Field to serve as site of Midsummer Classic for the first time since 1998. Major League Baseball announced today that the 2021 All-Star Game presented by MasterCard and its surrounding events will be hosted by the Colorado Rockies. The national broadcast of the All-Star Game on Fox will be held on Tuesday, July 13th. Baseball's 91st Midsummer Classic will be the second ever in Denver, joining the 1998 event at Coors Field. They were already in. Now, just want to let everybody know. Now, I know this is a political thing. I do. I get that. I'm trying to wipe that away and just go with what it means and what this was all about. The Rockies were already in the bidding process to host a future All-Star game. They were already there. They were already pushing for this. They had supplied a detailed plan for hotel, event space, and security that took months to assemble, which is also why kind of yanking it the way they did away from Georgia was interesting, because you did it just like that. You know, and you got to plan this out. So the Rockies do have a plan, and they are prepared to act out that plan now. So they already had several visits with Major League Baseball staff on this. So there we go. Robert Manfred said Major League Baseball is grateful to the Rockies, the city of Denver, and the state of Colorado for the support of this summer's All-Star Game. We appreciate their flexibility and enthusiasm to deliver a first-class event for our game and the region. We look forward to celebrating our sport's best players and entertaining fans around the world. Thoughts? I mean, I don't. Listen, it's an All-Star game. I remember when the Nuggets hosted an All-Star game. I still have the hat, Colfax. I still do. You know, it is neat, but it's an All-Star game. It's still an All-Star game. What does it do for the city of Denver? I'm sure big, big things. But it is definitely surrounded by a political discussion that I am not equipped, nor am I necessarily interested in getting too deeply involved on that side. Colfax, how about the big story of the day? I know that was a big story, but I mean, the NFL still came. Like, the NFL saying, hey, that's adorable, Major League Baseball. You're moving your All-Star game around. We got a quarterback trade to talk about. 3 years after hailing him as the franchise savior, the New York Jets traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers on Monday, ending months of intense speculation about their quarterback plan. So there you go. That does it. Jets are now going to take a quarterback at number two. It's official. So three quarterbacks should be gone, at least for sure, by the time Denver gets to nine, and I don't see anybody dancing with the Broncos for those first three. And like I've said a few times on the show, if it's not for those first three, I'm out. I'm done. In return for Darnold, the number three overall draft pick in 2018, the Jets received three picks, a sixth rounder in the 2021 draft later this month, and a second rounder and a fourth rounder in 2022. Wow. Sam Darnold, who was once touted, I mean, actually, many thought he would go number one. Cleveland kind of shocked a lot of people and went with Baker Mayfield. I said on this show, I thought Sam Darnold looked to be the most equipped to be the next big guy. This is why you have to be careful. You don't want to trade the farm away for a quarterback, Colfax, because they could turn out like Sam Darnold. And then what happens? 3 years later, not only do you not have Sam Darnold, you, for the past 3 years, you're out of draft picks. Now, again, the Jets were in that position to draft Sam Darnold. Denver is not. They're at number nine. So the upside is, the best case scenario, you trade up, you trade your farm, you trade three first-round picks and a third or second, whatever, and you get a franchise quarterback, and he's your guy. He is Patrick Mahomes-esque. That's the best case scenario. You know how rare that chance is going to be of you getting your Patrick Mahomes, of you getting your Drew Brees, your Peyton Manning? It's very rare. Worst case scenario is you trade away all those draft picks for the next 3 years. You don't have a first round pick and you don't have a second round pick. You don't have one of them at least. And your quarterback is a bust. So in all those years he was trying to spend building, using the first round to build, or at least use those first round picks to gain more picks back in the second or third rounds, you didn't have them. You didn't have that ammunition because you used it on a quarterback. I just don't like it. I said if Justin Fields doesn't fall to 9, which he won't, then I don't think Denver should be too aggressive here. So now what's interesting is they've said a few times that they would go after a quarterback. Now, here's the interesting stuff. Adam Schefter posted this earlier. With teams locked into the first three overall picks, the Atlanta Falcons now have received calls from multiple teams. They're at number 4, Colfax, and are open to moving out of the number 4 spot. There are a million mock drafts that I have read, and a lot of them do have, I don't want to say a lot, a percentage of them have, the Broncos getting aggressive, moving up, and getting Atlanta's number 4. So then things get really, really interesting. If Denver, I don't see it happening. I just don't. But all these mock drafts, I mean, Colfax, I know mock drafts are what they are. But some of these guys that are pretty good at it, they know something. They maybe had a sense that the Jets were going to move on from Sam Darnold all along. That was going to lock in the first three picks at quarterback, and the next in line would be Atlanta. Well, now Atlanta becomes the prettiest gal in the ball, Colfax. Everybody's calling. They want to go dancing. There it is. They want to go dancing, and they want to move up and get number 4. And so, okay, well, we know Trevor Lawrence is gone. We know that situation. We know Zach Wilson out of BYU is gone. Justin Fields is probably gone then. Those three guys are out in your first three. So could we get Trey Lance? And then, of course, you move down to Alabama's guy and Mac Jones. So it's really between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. I mean, that's the way it's going to work. Do you want to trade 2 first-round picks, maybe 3, including your number 9, for Mac Jones or Trey Lance? Mac Jones is, until his pro day, he was probably the 5th guy. After his pro day, 4th, maybe 3rd. And I've talked about Trey Lance. Amazing stats. Breathtaking numbers. FCS. So are you really going to take all those picks, move up to number 4? Because it sounds like the Falcons are willing to. And Denver did say, George Payton did say he's going to get a quarterback. Zach Stevens, our boy, our guy from DNVR Broncos, he thinks quarterbacks could very well go 1, 2, 3, and 4. Either Mac Jones or Justin Fields will be available at 5. See, he's going Justin Fields available at 5. Boy. I just don't know, man. Potential quarterbacks in free agency, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, and Nick Foles. So here's where we are. George Payton said they're going to upgrade their quarterback depth chart. They're going to upgrade, whether that means starter, number 2, whatever. So here's your options. Gardner Minshew, Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Foles. Or you trade everything. You trade a lot to move up and get more than, see, to me, I would say Trey Lance or Mac Jones. Zach's posting that Mac Jones or Justin Fields would be available at 5, so he must have it the other way around then. And I've heard anywhere from, I've even seen some mocks where Justin Fields drops down outside of 10. I mean, there it is, man. If he's there at 9, if you know he's going to be there at 9, which doesn't sound like it, then you wait. If you can move up and be reasonable about it, then maybe it works. But I have a hard time with this. So your thoughts, First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. It's going to be wild, man. I will tell you, this is a very interesting draft. No question about it. And I think it would be if we can get this first 5 quarterback, 5 in a row, possibly could happen. Wouldn't that be nuts? Four in a row, five in a row. Yeah, because we know Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, those guys are gone at number one and two for sure. Then it becomes interesting after that of where the rest of this goes. And I am here for that show. I can't wait. I don't know that I'm ready for Denver to start moving on from these draft picks to move up for any guy outside of Lawrence, Wilson, Fields. And again, Lawrence and Wilson are not options. So I always just throw them in because people go, well, what about these guys? They're not options at this stage. So you know Jacksonville's going QB. You know the Jets have now made it official. They're going QB. San Francisco's going QB. Atlanta's probably going to trade that pick to somebody that wants a QB. So four probably gone right there. Since he's not going for a QB, Miami at six. Ugh. No, they like their guy. Detroit, all right. Carolina's probably not going QB now, right? They just got him. They got their guy. Did they get their guy? I don't know. The Broncos, I mean, there's still some question marks there. Whew, there's a lot. There's a lot to this, man. But as far as the rankings and who's the best quarterback in the draft, I would say it's Lawrence, Wilson. I would put Fields at three. And then it kind of is a toss-up, Trey Lance or Mac Jones. And it's interesting because Zach says either Mac Jones or Justin Fields will be available at five. If the Falcons. Now, could the Falcons take a quarterback? That's the other question, because they could. I mean, they're not completely out of the market. Matt Ryan is a good quarterback, but he's not great anymore. So you could see them find their guy to go there. So you could see the Falcons keep it. And then you got four quarterbacks gone. And I believe that would either be Mac Jones or Lance. But a few Falcons reporter, I saw this report today. While head coach Arthur Smith believes Matt Ryan has at least two more seasons, their general manager, Terry Fontenot, is focused on taking a QB. The QB they're probably targeting is Trey Lance. That would mean Justin Fields might be available at five. And how far do you have to reach to get up to get him? My goodness. By the way, it is Top Text Tuesday today, Colfax. You guys are in. I already got tech. Dixon, considering the day-to-day competition, not sure you can say Gonzaga was really the best team all year long. Just being undefeated doesn't mean you're the best. You put Gonzaga in several other conferences, and they probably don't go undefeated. Yeah, but they were. They were the number one seed. They were the best seed. So you can argue it all day, but they were the best. They were the best seed. Noob, another reason they got the All-Star game, they are on the road the week before the game. B-Rad. Oh, B-Rad could win today. There is this, though. What is this? He's sharing a tweet. There is something left dangling when baseball demonstrates courage in taking the All-Star game from Atlanta for Human Rights, then handing it to the ownership that could be charged with malpractice. I mean, that's the thing. If you're Dick Monfort, you're like, see what I mean, guys? You sit around, just wait for it. Wait for good. I don't know why Dick Monfort is George Bush suddenly, but just as good. Like, he's smoking a cigar right now, probably having a brandy, and he's like, that's the thing about these baseball teams. I keep screwing up. Good things keep happening to us. 24 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, at 12:30, we are going to talk to Drew Kreisman of DNVR Rockies. Yeah, Dick Monfort can do no wrong. Nolan Arenado, All-Star Game. We'll be right back.
Spring is in the air, and that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today and talk to them about pre-planning It's an amazing gift. That's 970-330-6824. Noob says, that was more like, that wasn't Bush, that was more like Clinton. The first version I did was more along the George Bush side. The second was a Bill Clinton, Matthew McConaughey, Dazed and Confused mix. You got where
I was right there.
Yeah.
I was right there.
I mean, I don't know how all the inner workings works with the All-Star Game, but the Rockies will make some money.
Got to.
Yes, and it's publicity for more publicity for Coors Field, and it does kind of feel funny though. It's like all these people are like, "I hate the Rockies," and then suddenly the All-Star Game's on the Rockies. Ooh, I love the Rockies! Yeah, I mean, come on, the Rockies are back at it tonight too. So we're gonna see, see what this team looks like without playing the best team in all of baseball. I don't know why, but I walked away slightly optimistic. I want to talk to Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies, here in a few moments. We'll get into a lot of that. McLean says, have the Broncos ever drafted a QB that's worked out? Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Chad Kelly, Tebow, Cutler. See, Cutler and Tebow, interesting. Because Tebow kind of worked out when he was in Denver. I mean, if you think about it, he was there, what, 2 years? First year, he didn't play much. Second year, they go to the AFC. They win the AFC West. They win a playoff game. They beat the Steelers. Beat the Steelers, lost to the Patriots, right? So would you say Tebow worked out? Kind of while he was a Bronco. It kind of did. Chad Kelly, I would say no, that did not work out. Paxton Lynch, no. Jay Cutler, I mean, again, it's one of those guys I wouldn't say was a bust. He was a starting quarterback in the NFL for quite some time. But no, I mean, if you want to talk first round picks, first round Broncos quarterbacks, yeah, you're kind of getting to that point where, no, none of it. Paxton Lynch in 2016, Tim Tebow in 2010, Jay Cutler in 2006. Just looking at quarterbacks, it's not like there's been a ton of quarterbacks drafted in the first round by the Broncos. Go back, Tommy Maddox. That was a pressure move for John Elway. So, no, I get what you're saying, McLean. I'm not doing it. Unless it's like a hell of a deal. Just a hell of a deal. And Justin Fields, I really like Justin Fields. That's kind of my guy outside of your top two completely ungettable guys. I like Justin Fields. I don't think he'll be around. I am so damn intrigued by this first three picks of the NFL draft. I don't know that it's ever, like that year, the Baker Mayfield year was really, really interesting. But this year, as far as quarterbacks go, is very interesting. And even if the Broncos don't take a quarterback, I think they can hit a home run in this draft. But you got to be careful. 31 minutes after the hour, how it all went down. Coors Field will host the All-Star Game this year. And more on the Colorado Rockies. It was a weird, weird weekend, strange weekend for the Rockies, and kind of leading up to the news of the All-Star Game, too. So we'll talk to Drew Kreisman about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, and I think it's official, we're going to be doing this every Tuesday with the one, the only, Drew Kreisman, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, I'm guessing so, man. I just said it on the air. You can't make me look bad now. We're good, right?
No, I'm taking it all back.
Dang it.
You know what? Now that you've made it official, you've told everybody, all I can do is make a liar out of you for fun, right?
This is why I was told, never do programming meetings on the air, live. I keep doing it. It always gets me. Drew, my man, pretty big news, and now it's official. Colorado Rockies will host the 2021 All-Star Week.
Yeah. Awesome. This is great. Look, I know there are a lot of people who like want to feel bad about this, who are like trying really hard to have some negative things. And it's not that there's nothing to be said for, like, it feels a little bit weird that Dick Monfort is getting kind of rewarded at like the worst possible time. There's even a cynical response to that, though, which is to say, you know, there's going to be a highlight now on this whole mess here. Everyone, the entire baseball world is going to descend on Denver, Colorado. What, you don't think the national broadcasters on television and radio and 100 different languages aren't going to mention, you know, it's kind of interesting, we're here, and you know that guy who's playing in this game, he wears a Cardinals jersey now, and teams that, like, just shine a light on it. Isn't, they say sunshine is the best disinfectant? Like, I think it's a win-win-win all around. Like, yes, Dick Monfort's going to make some money out of the deal, but guess what? Dick Monfort's not going to sell the Colorado Rockies. I'm sorry, everybody. He's not. I wish he would, but he's not. And so just making him more cash-strapped, it might make you feel a little bit better, but it's not actually better for anybody. And then there's just the bigger deal of it's just great for the community, for baseball fans to get to do this. There are bigger issues at stake than just, you know, how much money goes into Dick Monfort's pocket.
Yeah, you're right. It is going to be strange, though, when you see Nolan there at the All-Star. That's going to be tough for us to swallow, right? Drew, the other thing, too, is just we did a poll. Was it yesterday? I think we did a poll asking, all right, now that, you know, things are opening up and you can go to games, current pro teams in Colorado, Avs, Nuggets, Rockies that are rolling right now, we asked the question, which one would you go to first? Which one are you choosing? And it was hands down Coors Field. It was hands down Rockies. And a lot of our listeners hate the Rockies, but then when you ask them where they want to go, it's like, Coors Field. So, I mean, so at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, does it, Drew?
You know, Brady, I had somebody, I'm going to have to clean up the language in the story, this listener reader who also sells jerseys down at the team store, you know, works in the team store, sells all kinds of stuff, whatever they've got in there. And, you know, he says, and all I hear all day is people, you know, effing this and stinking that and coming through and then mom for this. And then they get the thing and I go, all right, that'll be $400. You know, like, thanks, here's your jersey. Like, you know, and so like, yeah, like, and what are you going to do? Yeah. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to fault anyone who's going to have a good time going to baseball games. That doesn't mean that they have delusions of grandeur about the team or any of that stuff. I'm not putting Rockies fans down. I'm not in the business of putting Rockies fans down. And I think that's a bad business to be in, quite frankly. Mm. So let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy going out to the games, even if we don't expect them to win a lot. I think they'll be better than a lot of people do. But trying to spin this All-Star game thing as a bad thing, especially when we have no idea in the long term, you know, the Rockies will get another one. That could be the one thing where it's like, if they can't have a full year to prepare for this, and does Colorado get the full All-Star game experience? And if you're settling for kind of like 70% of it, then it feels like Dick Monfort got played again. But I'm not sure that's what happened here. That's all speculation. For now, it's just a great day to be a fan of baseball in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, and Drew, you mentioned it too. I mean, looking at the last series against the Dodgers, I mean, congratulations, Rockies. You get to start the start your season against the best team in baseball. That I think sometimes even in the offseason, Drew, I forget how good they are until you just watch them step up to the plate. You're like, oh, the worst is over. We got past this. Oh, no, there he is. And it just keeps going that way. But I got to tell you, Drew, I walked away from this series going, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a really interesting series in a lot of ways. The Rockies' bats came to play, and it's tempting to just shrug your shoulders and say, hey, Coors Field. But look, man, those are some of the best pitchers in the world over there, and Kershaw and Bauer and Buehler and Urias running out there. The Rockies' offense more than held their own against them. You know, we knew the bullpen was going to be shaky, and they coughed up a couple of games. The one thing that I think was pretty disappointing was the starting pitching, particularly Marquez and Senzatella were just not sharp. John Gray looked great right until he had to come out of the game. Worst possible debut for Gomber, but it's also a wash it away, and it almost meant nothing because it has so much to do with his defense rather than anything else. But ultimately, yeah, the Dodgers did not totally destroy the Rockies. There was that second game where I think everyone thought, oh, okay, here's what we expected. 10-0, the Rockies are getting no hit. That's the best team in baseball. That's the worst team in baseball, and that's what it should look like. But then even in that game, the Rockies came out and hit 4 home runs in an inning, had Dave Roberts over there scrambling for relievers going, oh, whoa, it's a 4-run ball game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I think they're going to be better than people think. I think the offense is going to be better. I think the young players are going to contribute. They're going to surprise people. And when the pitching comes around, they're going to go on some runs.
And like you said, you brought up John Gray, right? John Gray looked ridiculous, didn't he? Right? I mean, he was rolling, and then the cramps kind of settle in. Nothing serious, thank goodness. But that was just kind of how this series went. Weird stuff happening. John Gray, who, you know, he's had a pretty good career with the Rockies, but certainly could be better. And now you're seeing him. You know, you're really putting some pressure on him this year, because if you're going to make something of this season, you're going to need it out of your pitching. You just have to have it. And there's John Gray rocking, and then he gets cramps, and then the game kind of starts to fade away at that point. But my goodness, I mean, most of these games were so close. That first game, though, Drew, they get the win. They win 8-5. That was the most bizarre baseball game I've seen in quite some time. This is a weird series, man.
Yeah, the whole series was weird. I will say the home run that wasn't a home run that Toppy got, and Turner and Bellinger passed each other on the bases. I was going around talking to everybody I knew. It just gradually got more and more experience. I went to my guy Patrick Lyons, watched a ton of baseball in his life. You ever seen that before? No, I've never seen that before. Okay. Then I go to Patrick Saunders, never post. You ever seen that before? I've never seen that before. I go to Tracy Ringlesby. You know, this guy's seen a lot of baseball. You ever seen that before? He goes, I've never seen that before. Then after the game, somebody asked Bud Black. Bud Black has seen some baseball. You ever seen that before, buddy? I've never seen that before. I just went, that was incredible. I love baseball, man. That's where you go to the ballpark. You see wild stuff like that, you know, and it did, like you said, if this was a year where we were maybe hoping for the Rockies to be competitive, I might be sitting here splitting hairs with you saying, hey, they're two bad defensive plays away from winning three or four games in that set. Like you said, if John can just hold on for another inning, one pitch here or there, one defensive play. Now, we don't need to do that kind of bargaining this year, because we're not going to have our eyes probably as close on the standings. But when you're looking at what guys like Garrett Hanson, Sam Hilliard hitting a ball that would not have landed yet if it hadn't smashed off of the facade in right field, Dom Nunez doing his thing. These are the guys that came out and just they took all those home runs off of a former Cy Young winner, two of them, actually back-to-back former Cy Young winners, and Trevor Bauer and David Price. Those guys gave up four homers to these young Rockies and Charlie Blackman, Charlie and the Children, as we're calling them. And there they went. They did the thing. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to get excited about that kind of stuff, it's probably going to be a very long season for you. I'll just say that right now. But if you can kind of take those as wins, I had somebody tweet at me. I keep pulling this tweet, but it was so great. He just said, look, I thought this was going to be a miserable season. While I want to win rather than lose, if they play like that all year, I think this is going to be pretty fun. And I've got to agree with that assessment.
You know, and I'm trying not to, you know, be too positive on this side, because you know we were trained all offseason, Drew, to hate this Rockies team, and they might never win a game. And then when they win one game, I'm like, well, mission accomplished, they got one. But I did walk away from that, everything that happened, the you know, the weird home run that wasn't a home run, the cat to Kershaw catching a bump fly when he should have just let it drop, and that would have been two outs. It was weird stuff happening, but I found myself going, you know what, this was supposed to be an absolute blowout. This series was supposed to be embarrassing, and look at the scores. It wasn't embarrassing, and if you expected the Rockies to beat the Dodgers, I mean, I don't even expect the Rockies to beat the Dodgers on a good year necessarily every series, so right. I certainly didn't expect them to do it this time. So I'm walking away from this one going, all right, well, I guess we'll see what the Diamondbacks bring.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, putting Austin Gomber aside, and I hate to put so much on him, but other than that whole situation, the Rockies played the much cleaner series, made far fewer defensive mistakes. The Dodgers were bringing in guys on wild pitches early in the series and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, I agree with you. My immediate takeaway from just watching them play that series was, this is not a 100-loss baseball team. Is that a win for you? I don't know. But at the very least, if losing 100 games makes you feel worse and you're worried about that, I really don't think it's going to happen unless there's just a rash of injuries. These guys are too scrappy. I know some people hate that word, but it's legit. They're never going to be the bigger guy in the fight. You know, I like pro wrestling. I like to use that analogy. You know, they're the high-flying luchador against the big, gigantic, you know, Andre the Giant. Like, they've got to figure out a way to get those wins, but there's a way to do it. And they came out showing exactly how, and nearly surprised those Dodgers and split or even and won that series. So, yeah, you start playing some teams that aren't the Dodgers, build a little confidence in these young guys, get the pitching you're supposed to get. That's the thing. Marquez and Senzatella show up sharp I'm sorry, they win that series.
Yeah.
They just do.
That may, yeah.
And that'd be an interesting talking point today.
Oh, no question. Wait, Drew, so let me get this straight. Are you saying the Rockies are the Rey Mysterio Jr. of baseball? Is it? Can we say that?
Brady, I said that exact thing on the podcast maybe three days ago.
Did we just become best friends? That's one of those moments. Remember Rey Mysterio Jr. when he was knocking out all the Giants? He's taking down Kevin Nash. He's taking down the... I mean, it was the best time of my life, and I am married and have a child. Those were phenomenal memories.
I even, Brady, I made this part of the analogy. I was like, when the Rockies got to the World Series in 2007, that was like when Rey Mysterio finally won the World Championship and held it up, and we were all very excited. And then, like, later that day, John Cena just ripped up the Boston Red Sox. So John Cena just, give me that thing. You are champion of nothing.
Oh, man, Drew, I love it. Anytime you want to connect sports. Anytime you want to connect baseball to wrestling, I'm here for that show, my friend. I'm here for that. All right, Marquez had a rough go in that game. He just looked a little off, just a little off in that one. Do you see that being a big concern, or do we get the best of Marquez even tonight against Arizona?
You know, it really could go either way. It's a concern in that he didn't have his fastball command all spring training, and I noted it all spring training. I was going, well, I think he's going to have a little bit of a shaky start to the season. So listeners to the podcast might have been expecting it, and then he came out and it was the same problem. He didn't quite have command of the fastball. He's able to battle because his stuff is just so good. The velocity and the movement on his pitches is ridiculous, and so guys have a hard time lining it up, but he just couldn't hit his spots. And so if that continues to be an issue, it could take him a while to work out of this. I do think that he will, but it's also one of those things he's never struggled with in his life. And sometimes when guys just lose their command of their fastball for a minute, it just kind of goes and it locks in. And earlier in the season, that's more likely too. So there's a chance he just comes out and he's dynamite because it's just a matter of command. Everything else about his game is fine. His mechanics are fine. Like I said, the velo, the movement, all that stuff is there. But he's got to be able to put the fastball in the edges of the strike zone. If he starts doing that, he'll be just fine. And I expect he will. You hope it's tonight, but it can be a tricky thing. It's a little bit, I compare it to like a basketball player losing their jump shot, like a really good jump shooter, and then you just lose the feel in your jump shot for a minute. And you're like, well, I just have to keep shooting, right? And he has to keep throwing his fastball until it comes back. And as soon as it does, it'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll watch and find out.
I tend to agree. Drew, what are you working on, man, that we can check out in the meantime until we talk to you again?
The other thing I really noticed in this opening series, Brady, and some people are really going to roll their eyes at this, but whether it's from a baseball perspective or some of them more the off-field perspective, that this is an incredibly easy team to root for. I was kind of waiting. Again, you talked about we're kind of conditioned all offseason to hate this team in a way, to be like, these guys suck. There's nobody on them. What a bunch of scrubs. And I kept waiting for myself to feel that kind of letdown moment when you get like to the bottom of the lineup and you go, oh, so-and-so's coming up, or the next three guys probably aren't going to do anything. I'm going to go refill my coffee. I'm going to go grab a Breck brew if I'm not in the press box. You know, whatever you're doing out there. And so... You know, when Chris Owings actually coming out really hot was one of the things, he's maybe the guy I was least excited about to watch play at all, and the fact that he had such a great series, and other guys are, and everybody else up and down the lineup was contributing. In fact, the most boring players in the series are probably Story and Blackman. Other than Blackman's big two-run home run that got the thing started, he really didn't do a whole lot at the plate, and everybody else is out there doing their thing. And so I've got an article coming up about just literally listing a reason, multiple reasons why you can root for every single guy on this roster. And that's a pretty cool thing to be in a spot for your team where there's something to look forward to. Every time each one of these guys steps up to the plate or on the mound, there's a part of you that can go, okay, here's what I'm hoping this guy can do. Here's what I'm hoping he can contribute to the future, or even just be a fun thing to watch for today. And that's a pretty cool spot to be in. For a team that you don't expect to win a lot of games, that's actually kind of rare.
Yeah, you got to find something to root for. And like you said, there's certainly a lot. There is when you're looking at these individual players. Drew, always appreciate you, my friend. And we shall talk. Well, I think it's official. We should talk next week, at least at some point.
Let's do Tuesday. I'll allow it.
All right, my friend. Always appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Fantastic. Thanks, Brady.
Thanks, man. Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. We have fun. You know, Drew's a nerd like me. And anytime you can squeeze in a Rey Mysterio Jr. comparison, dude, Kevin Nash had Rey Mysterio Jr., picked him up, ready to powerbomb him, ready to go, and then Rey starts punching him on his head, drops Nash, pins him, 1, 2, 3. It's over, man. It's over. Nash didn't know what hit him. 7-foot dude versus like a 4'8" guy. I don't know how tall he was. It was nuts. One of the greatest moments in sports history. 12:53 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Donate to the Live United 13 Tenathon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100 and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're getting a lot of texts here. I'll get to those in the second hour. What do I have, Colfax? I have McLean, B-Rad, and Dixon. All three have two Top Text Tuesday victories. It's the first 1-3 gets the signed David Thompson jersey, courtesy of Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. Bitcoin guy has one. So three of the, I'll tell you what, man, I would say there's like a 70% chance the David Thompson jersey is won today. Because these three guys, pretty solid, pretty good at what they do when they text the show. They bring takes. They know what it's about. They get the game. They understand it. So, I would say it's about 70%. 70% chance one of these hooligans, one of these Hall of Famers. B-Rad's made it into the Hall of Fame, right? Where's B-Rad?
He's 100%.
Like, he's the GIF guy. He's just sitting in his room with all these tweets and GIFs and computer monitors surrounding him. And beep, boop, bop, bop. It's like that.
Just like that.
Thanks so, man. It's Top Text Tuesday. We shall return. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.